Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and good day, good evening, wherever you are. This is Jane Quasar and Zaria, and we welcome you to another Zora call on this beautiful day of August 7th, 2021. Hope all of you are doing well as we stay in balance and remain in the knowledge and knowing, not so much the thinking part, but knowing within our hearts that we are all love and peace and harmony and abundance. And so with that, I'll go ahead and bring Zaria through, because I know she has a message, and we will have another great call with all of you. You know, I just want to say that we're just so privileged, we're so happy that we can come together at these times to give each other support and the love, and it's wonderful to hear your voices and all of those that we don't hear the voices, but we know that you are there in spirit. So thank you all once again. My heart goes out to all of you, and I know that it is the same for Zaria too. So let's go ahead and bring Billy Zaria back. Yeah. Hi, Zaria.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Welcome. We can hear you beautifully. Thank you.
Oh, good. Okay.
So,
well, there's been a...
What is
you
your...
Know,
Go ahead. I was just going to ask you, what is the word for the day, or the thought for the day from you?
Thought from the day from me. Well, we need the air cleaned up. Oh, boy. Yeah, we're hearing sparks, and of course, the air quality here is not good at all. In fact, it is 239, no, just jumped up to 313, hazardous. Crazy. All these forest fires, all these arsonists out there starting fires just to watch it burn. That's just so sick. Okay. Well, pretty soon we won't have to worry about that. Anyway,
of course not.
Anyway, but so that's my word of the day. Yeah, you know. But I'm going to be reading a little later on. I'm going to be reading about unicorns. People are always wondering about unicorns, and were they really real, or are they real, or you know, were they destroyed during the Noah's flood and all this? And of course, that is totally false. There are unicorns, and they're alive and well, and you will find out about them when I read my text about them. Okay, so I'll give it back to you, Quasar.
All right. Well,
I'll put myself on mute.
Yeah. Right. So one of the things that we have been doing for the past, I would say, you know, 3-4 weeks or so, is to do the commands coming from our beloved Jew and bringing it all together, and even bringing in, you know, the demand or the command as well coming from Zora that we are gods and goddesses. We've also been using, and I've been bringing forth Saint Germain's invocation of healing also. And I think for today, I would like to be able to probably kind of bring all of that together for all of us. So right now, I'd like for everyone just to find a place where you could just feel at peace and calmness. It doesn't matter where you are, indoors, outdoors. If you could be outdoors and there's no fires around and you just are part of Mother Nature, feeling the breeze or feeling the breeze coming from the ocean, or you could just imagine. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do. Because imagination plays a key part in bringing forth the reality of what you wish for your reality to be. So let's just go ahead and let's but let's contemplate and not think, but go within into your heart and feel. So we'll let the brain rest and let's have our heart feel. And so let's begin. Let's take a few nice deep breaths again as we go within, breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathing in. And just hold for a few seconds. Just bring that in and then exhale. Just letting all of the stale air, letting all of what's in the way of peace and harmony. Let's do that again. Breathing in. Beautiful golden white light. Coming in from the crown, coming in from inner hollow earth. And just kind of swirling, beautiful golden white, pink white, magenta. I like magenta. And just feeling and releasing and exhaling, feeling more peace and serenity. And releasing all aches and pains. Let's breathe in again. Breathe in through your nose. And hold. And just relax. Relax your head. Relax the face, the neck, the shoulders, the arms, the fingers. The back, the hips, thighs, aches and pains, wherever they are. Let go, let go. Release and relax. And one more time. Breathing in. Hold. And release, bringing in beautiful, beautiful. This is who you are, the light body, your light body, our light body collectively. Beautiful, golden, pink or magenta, golden white light. Beautiful. We'll start off with a command from Q. I or we command our spirits to bring peace and joy and love into our heart-mind centers. Say that again. I command our spirits to bring love and peace and joy into our entire being. Time. We command our spirits to bring love and joy and peace into our hearts and reality now. And we know it. Count from 10 to 1. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Feel that shift into a higher consciousness and frequency that we are. The more that we do our commands and our 5, 4, 3, 2, 1s, the more we bring up and raise our consciousness as well as our frequency. That is what we collectively should do every, there's no shoulds, right? That we do every day. And now let's go ahead and bring in Saint Germain's invocation. And so we know our I Am presence. We know and breathe divine light and love into our heart mind centers. All about feeling. We are temples of light. Feel that light that we are. Beautiful crystalline light bodies. And we call forth the full power of the great violet flame to forgive and transmute remaining causes, core effects, still programs and records and memories. And we are going to let go of all of that. Anything that is associated with all of lower vibrational frequencies. And we will not name them because they are unearthing. Our love and forgiveness coming from our hearts for ourselves first in order to be able to do likewise for all, for everything that we care and love. And so through that love, we blaze the great violet flame in feeling every atomic and subatomic particle that has our signatures on it, that reflects anything less than who we are as gods and goddesses. So blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of the particles, waves of frequencies, as they are all transformed into the God and Goddess highest frequency at this time. We trust our God and Goddess selves and know and feel that we are great love or divine love and light and health and abundance. And in the name of Prime Creator, Source, Mother, Father, God, our goddesses and goddess, God selves, we accept this and we know it and it is done. Deep breath in. Connect. We know who we are. So be it. All right, everyone. Thank you. Let's go ahead and go on with our show. I'm going to go ahead and bring Zareya through again because I know that it's all about these lovely, beautiful unicorns, and can't wait to hear what Zareya has to share. All right, Zareya.
Okay. Well, you can hear me, right?
Yes, of course.
All right. This is coming from the book called The Crystal Kingdom by Diane Robbins. Her website is, for those who don't have her website, is www.DianneRobbins.com. And if she does ask that you get her books through her directly instead of third parties. Okay, we are the unicorns. We are the unicorns with spiraling horns. They sit on our heads and they are very, very long. They sit there securely and try as we may, they never do get in our way. For they are our antennas that light our way so that we never go astray, but stay on course as we go about our day, which is, of course, comprised of play. Our antennas can read the sky and guide us unerringly as we fly through space and time as well. For our lives are immortal and blessed with sight, so we can see from very great heights and look in you to see you as you experience the fall and covered your own sight with a very dense wall. Our tails are long and very strong, and we use them to balance us as we prance along through mountain glades where there is shade, in woodlands deep and very steep, while humans sleep. You don't see us in our light, for our skin is white, blends with the light, so we are safe in daylight too. As we move among you, hidden by our light, which is out of your sight, we spend many hours with you, and then we return to Middle Earth, as you have learned, is our home. We offer our services to those on land and lift the mermaids from the sandy beaches when they want to fly and carry them across the sky. We serve as carriers from Middle Earth and also as midwives during birth. Our lineage is pure. We are white as snow. Our skin is supple and firm. As you sit on our backs, you will soon see us. This is a fact. And when you do, we'll carry you anywhere you wish to fly. As we travel through the sky, we unicorns are playful and just prance and dance and never miss a chance to entertain ourselves as others as well. For we're known for our dancing and balanced and feats. And we always do land on our feet. We fly without wings, propelled from within. And you know how to fly with us, for you are our kin. When we're made from the same substance, the elements of Earth, it's just that you disconnected as part of your search. You search from without you, while we remain within, and you separated from us, your very own kin. We were your companions and great friends, and always accompanied you in times when you wanted to travel and fly to the sky. You beckoned to us, and we flew high above the tree line and arrived in just minutes in any destination you held in your mind. For we melded our thoughts as we climbed and soared through pure air into the sublime feeling of utopia. Ever present upon the earth, and again you will feel this as you rebirth into light beings you once were. Just imagine us with you, for we begin and return, and you will rapidly relearn all the things you left behind as you now start to climb into new heights of greater light. You each had a unicorn as a friend way back in those times when all were still upon the surface and all of life was so perfect. Those were the days, we must say, that we elementals and humans came together to play. And even though we had different ways, our lives reflected the light from within, because we knew that we were kin. Oh yes, we lived as one and shared the earth and loved all life and never knew this world called strife. It just didn't exist. Do you know how we fly? We wave our tails to sails, and then we use our mind to climb to make the climb. For when the molecules in the air are pure, they read our thoughts and flight occurs. Call to us, we are magical beings. You can bring to you all the things you desire and require to make your heart sing. You will see us in the light if you wish with all your might when you regain your inner sight. Until then, just feel us by your side and we will walk with you and gently glide and pace our step to match yours with yours as we did once before. We remain immortal just as you, only we don't go through the change called death because we did not disconnect from God. All the magic you left behind will again surely find as your senses awaken and telepathy returns. All you lost, you will relearn. And you will see us standing near and look into our eyes shining blue and clear. And then you will hear us beckon to you, and then the separation will be through. And we will complete the task of uniting at last. We don't eat hay, but grains instead, for the light from the live foods goes right to our heads. Live foods are the best, as you would guess, and carry the zest so we can digest the light we need to give us speed as we fly to heights quite high. Even by your standards, we stand tall. Some of us are 9 feet tall to the tops of our heads. That's how high you would reach to lift your leg. So we would lift you in the air, and the second you'd be there, sitting on our backs, just like that. Thought can move mountains and people too, and that is what we can do. Then we would go and explore hills and valleys and caverns deep, where we never had to sleep. We traveled high, we traveled far, exploring life of every type. You came to our lands, and we entertained you, for our homes were opened to only a few, although it is we who usually came to see you. We all gathered together in communities as well, talking and playing before humanity fell. We attended the council meetings that were held on Earth and regularly gathered as one family from the time of our birth. Our gatherings were exciting and full of such joy as we entertained each other and danced and sang until the council bell ring. And then we listened as Peter began to explain to us the mysteries of Pan, for the land was magical if you knew its ways and you mirrored forms of play. For that is how we learned in those days. We learned through play. So life was exciting and filled with fun, and we all knew everyone by their light and by our inner sight. We could see all the potential that could be if we just knew. We all lived in peace and merriment and spent our days in pure contentment and gratitude to all we found as we traveled, explored, and learned from all around. Our knowledge is vast, past, so we knew what we could be when we were set free into our ascension. This was the plan for all of us to achieve if only you had known and not tried to do it your own way by cutting the phone lines to home. Our communities were just like yours, with riches and mysteries to explore, and all together as one family, exploring all that we could be. Yes, it is easy for us to fly, no motor needed or key to turn, and of course, nothing to learn. All we do is go within and connect to source, and we're on our course, which is the real force in our universe. This way we never lose our way, for we are guided without delay. Now that there's time, we know there's not, but we don't want to delay our stay. There's too many galaxies on the way where we can also learn and play. We only travel at night, so you don't see us in our flight. You only see a flash of light. Our eyes are bright with perfect sight, so we can see from very great height and go wherever we like. We can see what occurs in your world without having heard a word. Night is best since we don't rest and can look in at you and come at your behest. One more page. Just call to us and we will appear, for we are always very near. Though you may not see us with your sight, just know that we are with you in the light. For we can see you as you really are, with your aura shining brightly as a star. Just talk to us and call us near, for we can always hear. When you connect to us in your heart, this will be the very start. Our companionship in these days, so we can guide you without delay, to make your connection to our realm where we can be found. You can again feel safe and sound, knowing the connection has been made as life intended us to stay in touch, to help each other raise ourselves up into the next step of evolution, for evolution is solution. To all is ill, to all your ills, and we come to help you fulfill your goal of returning home and leaving this third dimensional time zone and uniting at last with all our kingdoms are waiting for you, so we can all come and move through our ascension into fifth dimension. That's the message from the unicorns. They are very real, and we when we're in Hollow Earth, we ride them a lot. Besides Pan, but occasionally I do get on the back of them, and we have a wonderful time. Anyway, back to you, Quasar.
Thank Quasar. You. That was beautiful. That was quite beautiful. Thank you for that wonderful message, especially from the unicorns. So it's, again, it's all about understanding that they are not fictitious, that they are absolutely correct. I mean, they are real. And all the more, again, for us as well to realize we are more than just a vessel. The vessel we have, these bodies we care for and love, these are transitional for us as we merge back into our beautiful light bodies we are, which is multiverse, which is of the highest frequencies, and of which we can traverse the universe or more. So keep your thoughts at that level of knowing and of feeling, and we'll all get there together and be there together even now, whether it's in your imagination, whether it's from reading a book, but it's that higher knowing from where and feeling, not so much thinking part, but more feeling and raising our vibrations. So with that, let's go ahead and now
the next,
bring Saraya. You want to put
one more?
I'm sorry.
Hang on a second. I will in just a second. One more thing. The next thing I'm going to read out of the Crystal Kingdom is the truth about Pan and Wendy. That'll
okay.
be quite
and
interesting
for the
to
next,
you.
That will be our next call.
Yeah.
All right. That will be the sequel. All right. Thank you, Saraya. Now we're going to go ahead and bring Dr. Tom. So as we are here in this dimension, this reality, amazing how we can go back and forth. Let's see what Dr. Tom has to say for today. So let's go ahead and bring him through.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Tom. And how are you today?
Well, we're enjoying the fresh air, not. I'm just looking on the air maps and looking for clean air. It looks like I have to drive a couple hundred miles, but who knows? Might have to do that.
Yeah, which way? North or south or east?
I think it would be, toward the ocean or in somewhere in Nevada. Way out there.
Way out here in Nevada.
Elko.
Not where
Elko.
We are.
Elko, no.
Oh, that's a little bit of a drive. Okay. Well, have a wonderful travel wherever you go. And talking about just things in terms of this reality, this huge illusion in which we are playing in. So tell us what's new for you today and for all of us.
Okay, well, I'll give a little update, and then I have a good message about how we can handle the future, okay?
Good
idea. Some great intel. Well, a lot of you are probably wondering why it hasn't happened. And I'm sure everyone is frustrated. We're all a little on edge, waiting. We keep hearing it's this week, it's that week, it's tomorrow. And got on some great calls yesterday with some really high up people. And trying to understand this thing. So basically what has happened when President Trump was in, everything was all set up. And then we had this fraudulent parasites do this digital harbor attack and stealing our elections. Trump won probably 80%. And now we have these clowns in there running the circus, which is hopefully being, the tent's being taken down and they're all taken away to the zoo. So they've had to restructure and reform out the plan each day. Each day it changes because now they have this other things they're trying to do is eliminate the bad guys, eliminate the banking system, blah, blah, blah. So basically what's happened is that each week the plans change, which they probably had a master plan, but anyway, right now we're at a place where Trump has signed off just a few days ago on Nassara and RV, the global reset with the world courts. There's been more cleanup, getting rid of the bad guys, because we don't want, once this money is released back to the world, we don't want the bad guys to have it again and then create this, because it's been corrupted for thousands of years. So right now they're just cleaning up. They're trying to settle the agreements in the EU, interference over there. They're just trying to balance the books. Okay, the Asian elders are pushing the DOD to get this moving forward. They're starting off to making sure that the farmers and the Indians are being paid, fines and penalties are being paid. But once again, once this goes, we will not know the procedures, the rates, everything, because those are kept under lock and key. And once it's released, then we have to attack. So that's why it's really important to stay ready and be ready and get ready to know that, you know, what the policies will be, whether there's going to be numbers released. It'll all be out there. We'll be able to help you guys on that. So we're almost there. We're hearing next week. They want to get this out over the weekend, and then hopefully we'll get notifications. And that's kind of it. But once again, talking to our representatives, that it was a good thing that this thing has been delayed, because all it is making it more secure so these corrupted souls do not run our world like, you know, we're going from the old earth to the new earth, and we don't want to have this anymore because we're going back into the light, the best change ever on the planet. And so I know a lot of you are frustrated, myself included. But it's all been good. The longer it's taken, the safer it's going to be. We're in a better place. So any questions on that part before I get into my message of taking care of ourselves?
I think that was a very good summary. That's also what we have been hearing as well. that everything is really working hand in hand politically, economically, as well as, you know, Nasara, Gasara, all of that is working together in order for everything to come out so beautifully for all of us. So yeah, patience is the virtue, as we all have always known. So keep up with the great work that you're doing, Dr. Tom. We really appreciate you. And yes, we are ready for your updates on fitness and whatever else you'd like to share.
Sure. You know, once we receive this blessing, we have to be prepared for ourselves. If we are sick, which I'll talk about in a minute, if we're sick and we don't have our health in alignment, that's mind, body, soul, then you receive this blessing that can be taken away, and we have to gear ourselves up. That's why it's important. And because for thousands of years, especially the last 100 years, we have, especially what's going on now, about how amazing our human body, our soul, our heart is. And if you go back, you know, we're all winners. Some of you have heard this story before. We're all winners, right? So we were competing. There was trillions of sperm cells. We're all fighting to go up and become one of us, but we made it because we won. We got rid of all those other guys. We came, and then we ended up being who we are, right? So we beat all of them. So out of those trillion cells, you swam up there and you became a winner. So we're all winners. We're all amazing. And the intelligence, the innate intelligence, think about when you're in the womb. Mom doesn't have, I've talked about this before, mom doesn't have to think about where the ears are supposed to be and the feet and the eyes. That's all done. Isn't that magical? That everything, that innate intelligence source develops everything, right? So that baby comes out and it's perfect and it's smiling, you know, and then as soon as we get out, we inject it with vaccines, we inject it with pollution, and we feed it crap, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that that little baby starts to lose its intelligence. And just think about it. When we wake up every day, we make over 1,000 chemicals. We're just a chemical factory. When we go to sleep, we release serotonin. When we wake up, we release adrenaline. And think about this. If you cut your finger, just maybe with a little paper cut, and you bleed, do you have to think about, oh my God, how am I going to heal this? No, this innate intelligence goes in there and thickens the blood, the platelets, right? Your body corrects viruses and thousands of viruses and bugs every day, right? So we either tend to our temple or we destroy our temple, right? And look what's happened. That baby gets born and doesn't get breastfed, and then it grows a little bit more, and it's fed junk food, sugar, Twinkies, you know, all those things, grows up, and more junk food, gets on prescription drugs, alcohol drugs, and then on top of that, and it's like a hard disk, we put all these negative thoughts on this hard disk, right? You can't poison the body healthy. Poison the body healthy. That's really important. And just think about it. All prescription drugs cause inflammation. Medicine has destroyed now I'm not talking about emergency medicine. They do great things. Car accidents, heart attack, blah, blah, blah. We know the miracles there. Those are the good docs. But just think about when people go and the average, when I was practicing, average senior would come in of 15 to 20 prescription drugs a day. People have no idea what's in those, right? So it's important. And then so the thoughts, what you think, change the chemical of your body. It actually changes the DNA, right? So if you destroy your temple, then that's what you're going to lead to. And that's why we ascend early, and it's not good. Now you can tend to your temple with great food, wild food, spring water, structured water, high frequency supplements. Now for myself, I'm 64. I've never taken a prescription drug for anything, maybe some antibiotics when I was little for something. Of course, I think I ended up throwing them away. And you can reverse your aging. I mean, I was just down in to the Mammoth area, and I was running up at 12,000 feet, running 10 miles, and felt amazing because you can detox and regenerate, delete all this crap that we've been put on in our body. And also, too, to heal up, you want to get out in nature and see the miracle of life. You want to replace those thoughts, body, mind, and soul, with of course, love, joy, kind of what you were talking about, is lay down your thought every day. So it's kind of like what Q said, is that don't open that email, don't watch that video. Stay in creation, stay in happiness, stay in joy. It's important that you do that. And the last thing is I really enjoy Mark Hambleton's 12 Vision, which I think is a standard. There's 12 points, and one of them is become the person that you're meant to be, right? Joyous, healthy, vibrant, and live the life you were meant to live, right? Whatever you wanted to do. And live that amazing life, that romantic life, that joyous life. Find a partner of your dreams. Get back to everything. Slow down aging, all right? Get your body down because we got work to do. And also find a job that you want to do, your dream job or whatever you want to do in life. And build your passions, like a garden, creating teams, networking people. One of my visions is to have places around the world, and we have think tanks, and we bring people in. Also, the biggest one, experience the love of your life, okay? Romance and the masculine and feminine have been separated from us forever. They don't like us when we come together as one. Also, soar with technologies, with your health, with transportation. Down the road when we have the anti-gravities, we want to move into that. And also sovereignty, have huge amounts of wealth, right? Perfect health, perfect wealth. And keep things simple where you just keep every day you play and you enjoy life, and we're here to serve, to help humanity. But if we don't take care of ourselves, you can't operate. That's what happens, is man cannot save this planet unless he takes care of himself first, man, woman. So anyway, that's my talk of the day, and I'm excited. Let's get going on. I know there's a tremendous amount of negativity out there with all this corruption, but it's just the parasites throwing everything at the wall, because this is the only way we had to do it. The main reason was they had to go this direction, because what happens was if the police and the army and the military knew that all their pensions were going to be gone, there would have been a war. So they took this other direction to let this other thing with the vaccines and stuff. So just got word on that, but everything is good. I know it doesn't look
okay. Great.
Get out in nature and let's rock and roll.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Tom. And
okay.
You have yourself a wondrous and glorious day. Thank you once again, Dr. Tom. All right.
All right.
Talk to you
care.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right, everyone. Take another deep breath. And we're going to go ahead and bring in our special guest. And for today, it's going to be Dr. Jerry. Following Dr. Jerry, and that will be for tomorrow's call, we will then as well have someone we haven't heard from in a little while, and that's going to be Dr. Richard Presser regarding the NanoSoma. So we bring to you so many different products, and it is all for you, for all of us to be able to either participate in or not, but at least the information is, it's what we do with the information, and that is our decision. In terms of what we feel is good for us. So we're going to go ahead now and bring Dr. Jerry in. All right.
Hello there.
Hello. Dr. Jerry, welcome.
This is Dr. Tom.
Oh, Dr. Tom.
But it could be. Hey, look, you know,
here.
it's the Tom and Jerry show. Tom and Jerry show.
Me. Thank you. All right, I'm gonna let you go here. I thought I brought him through. Okay, sorry about that, Dr. Tom. Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and bring Dr. Jerry in. All right.
You have reached 619-602-5909. Either your name and phone number,
right.
And I'll call you back as soon as possible.
Let's go ahead and try that one more time. All right, Dr. Jerry, we're ready for you. There we go.
You have reached 619-602-5909.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, hold on a second, everybody. All right, let's try one more time. See if we can get him through now. Okay.
You want me to try and get in myself?
Hold on a second. I just texted him.
Hey, Jane.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Jerry. Welcome. How are you doing?
Hi.
Good. How are you?
Well, we're very good. We're all excited to hear what you have to share with all of us today. And I think at this time, everybody really knows who you are. We know how wonderful you have been as far as your meditations, as well as all of the wonderful information and of the different products that you brought to us, and especially now with the Zealous, this most powerful and pure spirulina that's on the market all over the world now. And many of us now are participating in this great product. And I know that there's so much yet we still need to learn, or we'd like to learn more about the product of Zealous, the products of Zealous. So I think with that being said, Dr. Jerry, if you want to see, it's a given. We know who you are. If you want to say a little bit more, Dr. Jerry is, you want to expand on that more, be our guest. Otherwise, we love you and we want to thank you for being here. Thank you.
It's always an honor, Jane. And I feel like it's like family. So I really appreciate being here. But I will go into just a little bit of background on spirulina in particular. and how we used it back even in the 80s to great benefit, even in practice with other practitioners. And we knew it was this perfect superfood that had amazing properties. And we saw many of the studies related to these properties, and we witnessed it personally in our practice. So there's no question that spirulina was great and has been for millennia through, you know, through the entire foundation of this planet even. It's the greatest oxygenator. It always has been. It's really the reason for life on this planet. It currently is still the greatest oxygenator of the planet. It outdoes all of the forests. And it's also the greatest detoxifier of the planet. So without spirulina, we wouldn't probably not even be alive on this earth. So it's an amazing thing, but it does have an issue, and that issue is because it's a very powerful detoxifier, this world has become toxic because of industry, because of the pollution that, you know, flows into the rivers and streams and rivers and then the ocean and then into the air and many other things happening on this planet. So spirulina is working overtime to clean it up, but it becomes toxic itself because people eat it and they're ingesting some of those toxins, and there's nowhere on earth you can escape that. So 7 years ago, some individuals that had the money, but more importantly, they had enough money to live their lives, you know, however they wanted to. But they knew it because they had connections into Russia, and they began to see a lot of people very sick because of the radioactivity from Chernobyl and other leaks that are less publicized. And they were seeing a lot of this radiation sickness, cancers and such, and spirulina was clearing it out. So they actually knew that if they could create a very pure strain of it, they would have something amazing. And so what they did is they actually spent $70 million plus, and they put an infrastructure in place. It's a form of vertical farming. And it's monitored 400 to 1,000 times per second for everything, not only toxins, because they even situated it in a very remote area in northern Spain in the Asturias Mountains, because they wanted to eliminate any possible contaminations as much as possibly is feasible. But the vertical farming is all enclosed and monitored, as I said, computer monitored constantly. Not only for toxins, but for the right pH, the correct temperature, the right amount of light, the right amount of nutrients. So you end up with a 30 to 100 potency product. And out in the world, spirulina growing, it's inconsistent. Temperature's inconsistent, pH, nutrients are inconsistent, light is inconsistent. So the consistency just is not, it's totally compromised, not to mention the toxins. And because of these compromises, sometimes spirulina grown out in the wild goes into these blooms, and it creates these things called mycocystines, and they're toxic to us. So you've heard of these toxic blooms, and you can't drink the water, and it's, you know, it's all over the planet. This amazing thing called spirulina, that's what happens when it's in these environments that are inconsistent. So what they've done is amazing. What they've done is taken something that has really been around literally as long as this planet has, and ancient civilizations recognized it and used it, and they've taken that and taken it back to this very, very pure, optimized state. So what we're seeing from the Zealous products are unbelievable results. People call me just practically in tears because just this morning, a lady in Tennessee, whose blood sugar has been out of control. And I have to say, this is not intended to diagnose, prescribe, or treat. This is for informational uses only. You know, we've got to do those disclaimers because this is so amazing. But she hasn't been able to control her blood sugar for like 30 or 40 years. And she was overweight, and she had a lot of issues. And she is over the moon excited because she is controlling her blood sugar, she's getting off medications, and you can definitely work with your healthcare provider there. I can't recommend that, so I have to be careful. But she's actually lost 31 pounds in 3 months. And everyone's story is a little different because it's about getting somebody back to homeostasis. And what that means is our body, if you go to the doctor and you get a physical exam, you get a blood test, and you have all of these things that, you know, these different things like lipids, cholesterol, sugar, monocytes, lymphocytes, leukocytes, eosinophils, all of these parts of the blood. And here's the normal range, and you're high, you're low, these kinds of things. So homeostasis is being in the perfect middle of range. And it also includes the right amount, the perfect amount of hormones and enzymes and nutrients in your body, things that aren't tested on physical exam, things like magnesium that almost everyone's deficient in, selenium, things that our body needs to do the things it does, like that magnesium alone has over 300 known biochemical reactions that it is required for. And most people don't know that, and most people don't realize that 90% of people are deficient in magnesium. Your body flushes it under stress. So there are these nutrients, these important nutrients we're not getting in our diet anymore. So what happens is you're seeing these things break down. You're seeing diseases become epidemic, things like metabolic disorders like diabetes, things like autoimmune disorders, cancers, cardiovascular diseases, fatty liver, all of these things that are becoming epidemic in our society that are out of control in spite of all of the money that people are spending on medicine. We spend in this country more, it's like 90% of what's spent in the entire world on medicines and medical practices, basically medical care, and we rank somewhere around 37th in terms of overall health, which you take all the, you know, life expectancy and the amount of disease and those things. So we spend way more money than most countries, and yet we are way down the list in terms of health. So that's not the answer. Modern medicine doesn't have the answer. That has been literally a charade based on money. So what we need to do is get people back to really what works, and we need to understand how the body works. And how the body works is, and this has been for millennia, our ancestors, they would farm, they would raise their own animals, they lived closely and simply, close to the land. That's what I meant by living closely, close to the land. And they were very well aware of the land, and they took care of it. So their food that they ate had all of these micronutrients. It had enough magnesium. It had enough selenium and silica and boron and all of these things that are lacking in our diets today. Because the farms today, they put back in the ground just what the plant needs to look good, because that's all they care about. And it comes from a place of bottom line. They're making money. It's a business. So you don't want to spend money you don't have to. So they think, in a short-sighted vision that we tend to have in industry, well, we want to create the product that looks and feels and, you know, tastes enough like it should, and we want to put whatever's in the soil to make that happen. So they don't really, and it's just like the GMOs. They didn't genetically modify plants in order to make them healthier or better for us. They did it so they could apply very powerful herbicides and not hurt the plant. An herbicide, that side is death. Herb is plant. So plant death. So they spray this stuff on there, but it's genetically modified, so it will not hurt that plant. But what it does, oftentimes it becomes a part of the plant. You can't even wash it off. So we're actually getting that plant death inside our bodies, that extreme compromise. And we're getting a plant, a food that doesn't have all the nutrients. So what happens, we can't help it. What happens is our body eventually is amazing at compensating and adapting. It is brilliant at that. It's a divinely created instrument, our bodies, and it can do a great things, and it adapts to those compromises. It compensates, but you can only compensate so far. Like if you had to work without sleeping, you could do it for, you know, 3 or 4 days. You're adapting because, okay, I'm not able to get sleep, but I got to do this job. But after that, things are going to start breaking. You're going to realize you can't go on, and it's the same way with the body. Eventually, those compromises, it's like we can't do this anymore. So that's the disease process starts. So the deficiencies eventually are underlying and causing these things. And so we can solve that, actually, because spirulina has everything known to support our life, all of those micronutrients, especially when it's been optimized. around every criteria of growth like this one has. So it says perfect food. So we can get that daily now because of this Zealous product line. And the next thing that's a real critical factor, and I mentioned it, the world has become toxic, and I also mentioned it with the plants being sprayed, these toxins that have become a part of the plants. We cannot escape being carrying a toxic load in this planet. Everybody does. The wild animals do, everywhere on the planet. So it's become vital. If you want to stay healthy, if you want to live longer and stronger, it's become vital that you detox, not once every season like we could, you know, 30, 40 years ago, or once every, you know, maybe month like we talked about maybe in the 90s. We have to think about it every day. And most people don't, because they don't even know how to detoxify. You know, like an infrared sauna helps, exercise helps, things like that, you know, cilantro and eating simply, all of that helps. Trying to eat organic, it all helps. But you can't avoid it. So detoxifying on a daily basis by taking in the Zealous spirulina, because it's toxin-free, so it's a toxin sponge. You take it into your body, now it takes the toxins out of your body every day. So what that means is you're getting the nutrients and you're eliminating the toxins. And what ultimately that means is you can maintain homeostasis, which is the balance of all of those things that your body's attempting to do 24/7. You don't have to think about it. All of these things that the body innately controls are done because the toxins are being removed and the nutrients are coming in. So all of those biochemical reactions that require those nutrients can proceed and proceed normally. And all of those toxins that would interrupt those kinds of things or damaged cells, things like that, are leaving your body. So for us as a family, it's real important for me to communicate currently in the world today and certainly going forward, because there's more and more challenges that we're uncovering. Not only is the big pharma and these kinds of things created really more challenge than it has benefit, because it's really money-based, but there are other things that are challenging us as well. Things like EMFs, 4G, going into 5G, things like this that challenge us. The whole dental industry, putting mercury in our mouths that create a toxicity that challenges us. The water supply, having, you know, these toxic levels of fluoride, fluorine that hardens the pineal gland and is toxic and is a carcinogen right in our own water supply. Chlorine itself is a carcinogen. When it's warmed up and you have a shower, it turns to chloroform, which is a carcinogen. All of these things we have to deal with. It's been stated that people encounter 180 toxins before they leave the house in the morning because of the soap and the shampoo and the perfumes and aftershave and all of these different things that we are exposed to. You have 180 toxins you've already, before you even go out the door and breathe the air or drink the water or anything else. So we live in a world that we need to be aware, and this is a great tool. And I recognize it right away. You know, when we tried it back last, it was in the latter part of December of last year, I knew right away, within 3 days, that this was unique, that it was beyond anything I'd ever tried in terms of spirulina, and I was very familiar with spirulina and kind of stayed away from it once I found out it was toxic. And I took this because I saw the process they were going through with a very high quality control, and within 3 days I knew something was different about this. And now we have dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people that are calling me, telling me what's happening. And there's some of those stories I can't even share because, you know, I don't want to get into the situation where I'm making medical claims. But it just makes sense. If you're feeding your body all of the nutrients it needs and you're getting rid of the toxins, what do you think is going to happen? Your body's going to be able to operate more efficiently, more effectively, and you'll be healthier, you'll live longer, you'll live stronger, you'll live better. So that's the key there. And in terms of a little more background about me, yes, I'm a product guy. I've been in functional medicine for over 40 years. But more importantly is the whole spiritual thing for me, because the reality is we are spiritual beings. We are beings of frequency. We are beings of light. We are here for a purpose. And it's up to us to understand that purpose and fulfill that purpose. And the only thing, the reason we focus on the physical is that we are in this physical form. And we want this physical form to be here long enough or as long as possible so we can do great things, so we can accomplish what this world needs right now. It's real important, and this family is real important because this family is aware of what's going on out there. This family has understood the challenges that are being thrown to us every day, and a lot of people don't. And so it's up to us to kind of be the light bearers, to bring that knowledge and understanding. And sometimes it's just being like the yogis in the world. It's been said there's always a realized being in the world because the vibration of that being helps to keep this planet from just totally self-destructing. And it's all about vibration. So when I talk about and I teach meditation, I always come back to that vibration. And that's why I do the chants that my Baba taught and did before every meditation, because it's all about vibration. We, as beings, we are electrical, we are energetic, but the power, the real power of that electricity and that energy is in or near the spine, in the chakras that were recognized in ancient times, many, many thousands of years ago. The seers and the sages and the yogis recognized these power centers. They could actually work with those power centers, and some of these techniques evolved from that. And I've attempted to teach some understanding of that so that we can actually tune in. But the main thing foundationally about meditation is you take your attention from going out into the world and being sucked here and there from pillar to post. And that's where the fear lives. That's where the doubt lives. That's where the struggle is that pulls your energy out of you, because your strength is inside you. Your strength is in you. It's like in the Bible, the King Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. So Jesus taught this. Every great master taught this. Buddha, sitting and focusing inward. Krishna, all of the religions taught the power of you and the strength of you. And it's not so much in religions tend to, you know, build outwardly. They tend to build churches and monuments and temples and things like that. The reality is that separates you from you. Sometimes you go into these churches or temples and you feel this great energy because all of these people collecting together, but it's the souls, it's the people. That's where the power is. That's where the strength is. You are all gods and goddesses. That's what you know and this family knows. And so meditation is taking you from that outer attention to an inward attention. That's the power of it. And then some of the finer things is when you get into some of the intricacies of the of the various vibrations, because another biblical thing is that in the beginning was the word. So God actually used vibration to create this entire manifestation. The word is vibration. So there had to be that vibration in order to create the polarity. Because if you see vibration and you look at an oscilloscope, it goes up and down because it creates that polarity. It creates the opposite. It ends up creating male and female. It ends up creating light and dark. It ends up even creating good and evil, because this world depends on polarity to even exist. So we have to recognize, as beings and gods and goddesses, that this world does have evil. This world has good and evil, and it's necessary for manifestation to have these polar opposites. You look at the DNA strand, it's a spiral, because that's what polarity creates. It creates a spiral. You put a polarity under any kind of energy and it spirals. The entire universe spirals. It's by the universe is circling around a central point. That Big Bang theory that the physicists say, that's what created the universe. But in the beginning was the word. It was vibration. And the vibration created the polarity that allowed the spiral to be manifested. So that's where we are. And so our goal as beings in this world is to pull back into the center of that spiral, because that's where the strength is. Even in the universe, as the universe spirals and spins around that central point, you know, millions of light years away, as we get closer to that central point, the ages, the yugas, we become more advanced spiritually as a society. And you've heard the Kali Yuga, that's when we're furthest away. That's the dark ages. And then you go into Dwapara Yuga, where you people mentally begin to understand things and energy and things like that. And then you go into Treta Yuga, where there's more high thinking and a more spiritual type society. And then ultimately Satya Yuga, when you're closest to that central point, when it's just spiritual beings on this world, it'll just be spiritual beings. So we right now are in, we moved from Kali into Dwapara, which is a real dangerous time because we have the dark energy still there from the dark ages, and yet we have this understanding of energy. So this creation of nuclear energy, electrical energy, communication energies, all of this. So it's very dangerous because the evil can use those things. So we have to be really strong. We have to be really centered. And as a family, I really encourage us and anyone that can to meditate because that puts you back in your center, like the center of the universe. And in order to do that, you sit in a place that's that you know you won't be disturbed. You sit in a place that you sit, you always meditate because it will collect its own energy. If you try to sit where everybody's walking through the house all the time, it's an energy of disruption and disturbance. And so it's better to kind of cordon off an area, cordon off part of your bedroom or maybe if you have a tiny room or something, and that's your meditation room. And you could put something, you know, in front of you that inspires you. You know, if you're a Christian, you know, put Jesus there. If you're a Buddhist, put Buddha there. If you're Islam, put the, you know, Islam doesn't believe in having any particular individual as being deity, so put something in a beautiful art that inspires you. But anything that you can sit and you can kind of look at that and go, yes. And then you can just follow your breath. And that's one of the tricks the yogis used because the breath is the link to the spirit. It's like the word inspire, inspiration. That is spirit. So as you breathe in and out, there is an energy. And if you focus on that in and out, every meditation technique at some point utilizes breath, whether it's Zen meditation, whether it's Kriya Yoga, whether it's Sadhguru teaches a form of Kriya Yoga that's when you inhale, it's like, what's he say? What do you think? I am not the body. When on the inhale, I am not the body. On the exhale, I am not even the mind. Because the reality is the body and the mind are manifestations of this physical plane. Your spirit is so much greater than that. You have no idea. I mean, many of you do. If you learn to recognize and spend time with your spirit, that's who you really are. When your body drops off, that's what is still there is your spirit. It's not your body and it's not your mind. And it's hard for us to grasp, wow, you know, when I die, you know, what am I? But then you become greater than you can even imagine because you are and we are all connected, and we are part of God. So we are gods and goddesses. And once you actually get familiar with your spirit, then you realize that. And it's not an ego kind of thing, like, oh, I'm so much better than this other person. It's not that at all, because you recognize you're no better than that other person. You're actually, that other person is asleep. That other person doesn't realize what they are. But they are that still inside. They are that. So by doing that ourselves, we help the world more than you can even imagine. Because your vibration, maybe your family has no idea, you know, who, what you do, maybe you meditate, you're on this call, what they don't, maybe they don't know that. But you go hang out, you go to dinner with your family, you go to a reunion or whatever, your energy changes the vibration in that room of people. And they may not even realize it. And you don't have to, you know, think, well, I'm so great because I'm doing this. It just is. It just is. It's a great thing. So today I want to get into one time on these calls, I got into the sounds of the different chakras. And sometimes we focus on that when we meditate. And at the base chakra, it's lum, and then the second one up, bum. Third one up, solar plexus area, rum. The next one up, the heart chakra, yum. The throat, hum, om mani padme hum. Milarepa's mantra, hum. The third eye, om. And the crown chakra is all of the sound. It's like in the Bible, they said that, hear the sound of rushing water. It's just all of the sounds together. But today, one of the mantras that was near and dear to my heart, because the first time I met Swami Muktananda, I went into a big hall in Santa Monica where he was. There was over 500 people in this, it was like a big tent. And I went in there, and I had picked out of a book, I was about 18 years old, and I found this book that said, Choose Your Own Mantra. And I was just kind of a neophyte. I mean, I definitely had wanted to learn more about spirituality. I thought, I've heard about mantras. And I went through this whole book, and I picked the mantra Om Namah Shivaya because I liked its meaning. It's about getting rid of the obstruction. Like Shiva is the destroyer, but destroying the obstacles to your own development, to your own realization. Because in many ways, this world is an obstacle to your own realization. It tries to pull you out constantly, especially today with all of the media, all of the distractions. So we need this destroyer of obstacles more than ever. So I picked this mantra, Om Namah Shivaya. And on the converse of that, destroyer of obstacles, it helps to take us more rapidly into realization, into being who we are. So I walked into this tent, and here was Muktananda sitting up in the front of the room in his orange robes, and he had peacock feathers. It was all very mystical and amazing. And they were chanting Om Namah Shivaya slowly, but I didn't recognize it because it was so slow. And I'm going to chant that right now and make it a part of the meditation because they did that a lot in Siddha Yoga, which was the foundation that Swami Muktananda founded, and it spread around the world, and it's still happening. Now his successor, Chidvilasananda, who was his interpreter back in the day when I met him, and hung out with him, her name was Mukti. So Mukti was his interpreter, and now she's the successor, and she spends most of her time in a place called Ganesh Puri in India, where the home ashram is. But it's such a powerful thing, that mantra, that I'm going to take it through the chakras. And they did it, they chanted it a certain way, in that slow way. But I've adapted it a little bit to go into the chakras. So from the base chakra to the second chakra, which is like between the navel and the base of the spine, and then on up to the solar plexus area, a little above the navel, so the third chakra, the fourth chakra, and the heart. And there's a big jump energetically between the third and fourth chakra, because most people in the world, in worldly consciousness, operate in the first three chakras primarily. Energy's moving up above, but not a lot. So the yogi tries to get the energy to go up more and more. So there's a big jump between chakra 3 and 4, which is the heart chakra. And the heart chakra is that chakra of divine love, that chakra of unconditional love. And most people can't get there. It's hard to have unconditional love, but there are people that do manifest that. And it doesn't matter, you know, what they're getting out of something. They've realized they are here to love and serve. They're in their heart chakra. So they've made that jump. And then the fifth chakra is throat chakra. And that's the rum. And rum, that throat chakra is more about the divine creative, whereas the second chakra is creative energy, because you have the foundational, the bottom of the spine, you have the survival. You got enough food, you got shelter, you got the things to survive. Next one up is creative, so the sex energy, that kind of thing. You got to create, you got to sustain the world, so there's this energy there. And then the third chakra is all about, it's kind of like business. It's about conducting business, doing things in the world so that you can, again, so you can survive. But the third chakra, it gets a little more powerful than the other two, so it can turn ugly because of the evil pull into domination and control, or money. You know, just everything for money. Money's not bad. Money's an energy. It can be good or bad. But sometimes that third chakra, if it's about domination and control, can turn it bad. And you see that a lot out in the world, how it's turned bad. But we, as gods and goddesses, turn money into good. So it's not a bad thing. And then the fourth chakra, divine love, fifth, divine creative, and the sixth, the third eye, that's where the energy from your medulla oblongata pierces right through the pineal gland, right into the third eye, and that is enlightenment right there. And so the beings, the yogis that are enlightened in this world are living in that sixth chakra, that third eye area. Now they know that the seventh chakra is pretty hard to stay in the world. If you're operating from your seventh chakra, you're pretty much gone. You're going to leave your body. So they keep the energy going up to the third eye, and they don't let it go, seventh chakra, very much. A little bit, because it's blissful. It's blissful because that's just God. And that's where you meet God, and that's where God communicates with you, and it's like this blissful experience. But they know that if they go there completely, they're leaving their body. So that's kind of how the chakras play out. But I'm going to chant Om Namah Shivaya, and I want all of you to sit in a quiet place. If you can, sit cross-legged, better. If you can't, sit in a chair, keep your back straight. And be just aware of your inhale and exhale a little bit, and then follow it in. Like in Zen, when they inhale, they think Za, and the breath comes in down to about the solar plexus area. And then when they exhale, it's Zen, and they let it go. And there's like this arc, and it goes out, and then Za, Zen. And they just think it. They don't say it. But they observe the breath. My Baba was always saying observe. You become the observer. And that observer, eventually you realize that observer is your spirit. Even when you're walking and you're going out into a store, or you're hanging out with your family, and you get into that place where you just pull back and you observe, that's your spirit. You're the observer. You're not participating in all of that drama. You're just observing it. And it's a very peaceful place. The more you can get there, the more peace you will have, and the less fear you will have. So it's a great place to go. So what we're going to do here is sitting, and I'm going to do Om Namah Shivaya, and think about that it's the eliminator of all of your obstacles, which on the other side, conversely, is bringing everything, you know, bringing your realization, bringing your prosperity, bringing the things that support you and love you, and eliminating all of those obstacles. So when I chant Om Namah Shivaya, I'm going to do it seven times. So it's going to be based on the chakras. Well, it's six times up to the third eye, and then Nama. And then Nama means bow down. But what you're doing is it's a surrender. Bow down is a surrender. It's not like I am less than you. It's a surrender to the greatness. And that surrender in Om Namah Shivaya takes you from that third eye to the crown chakra. So you're surrendering to God. So Nama. So you allow the energy just to touch that crown chakra, and that's where you're touching, literally touching God. And then Shivaya, we're bringing it on down. So she, the third eye, thy throat, Vaya, and you'll hear the different intonations, the different syllables, as I work down through the six chakras. And I just want you to sit, listen to the vibration, and we'll chant it, I don't know, maybe I'll just go 5 minutes, maybe six, seven, eight, maybe even 10 minutes. Just listen to the vibrations, and you can kind of even mouth it or say it out loud in your own where you're sitting. Better even if you actually can say it out loud. If you're in a quiet space and you can actually say it out loud, awesome. And then we'll sit for, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes and just absorb that vibration. Absorb what it is and where you're at. And then we'll just end, because sometimes it's hard to even talk. After I would meditate with Baba, we didn't talk. very rarely. Sometimes he'd say, you have a question. And it was just a little bit, and then we would go. And when we would gather with his other students, you would see your friends there, but nobody would talk. It's like you couldn't, because you were so inward. And you just wanted to enjoy that quiet, peaceful place. So that's kind of what Let's Do, and we'll wrap up with this. And just remember, we're doing the mantras up, and then when I get to the third eye, it's Nam-ma, which takes the energy up and literally touches God. So here we go. And just for about a minute, just inhale and exhale, and just, you could do I am and that. You could do hum, so. Hum on the inhale, so on the exhale. Now we'll start the slow Om Namah Shivaya chant.
See you.
And then we'll sit just about 5 minutes. Just observe. If you have a thought, just observe it. Don't worry about it. Don't think you can't meditate because you have thoughts. That's the function of the mind. Just observe them. If you can observe the inhale and exhale, even better. My Baba, my main spiritual teacher for over 35 years, always ended meditation with this next chant. So I'm going to do this chant, and then if you feel like just sitting a while longer, I encourage you to do it. And then just slowly come back into the world, but come back from that place that you, part of you remains. And you can actually begin more and more to observe the world from your spirit, which is where you are right now. And this chant is about bowing down, but remember, it's about bowing down to that. It's about bowing down to your higher self. So you're really bowing down to your spirit. So you're saying to your physical body, bow down because the spirit is what's real. Namo Namaste Astu Sasrakrita. Punat Chambyo Api Namo Namaste Namo Pasta Pasta Frista Taste Namastute sarvata eva sarvam. God bless you all. I send my love to each and every one of you.
Namaste. Haridas. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you for letting me be here.
Everyone, just relax. Just be in silence for the next couple of minutes, and we'll bring Zora through. We'll ask Zoraya to bring Zora through. good, everyone. Let's go ahead and bring Zaria back, and we'll get a chance to talk to Zora. Thank you. Beautiful centering and balancing meditation with Hari Das. So when you feel like you're out of balance, you can come to this archive and re-listen to Hari Das and / Dr. Jerry to feel balanced. Thank you, everyone. All right, let's go ahead and get Zaria. Okay, here we are. Zaria?
Yes.
So we kind of missed, you just kind of dropped for a little while there. Anyways, we are ready for your father, if you will. Unless there's something else that you would like to share. Sure, yeah, we have about 35 minutes.
Well, why don't we just go into questions and answers, because I know that's what people want to do. So I'll bring my dad through, and you go ahead and do your questions and answers.
I'm sure I'm going to ask a couple of questions before we do that.
I know you will. I know you will.
I will start with the Q&A. Thank you, Zaria. So everybody, and I know that everyone knows by this time who Zaria and Zora are. And so we'll talk to you later, Zaria. So they switch essences in terms of body, not body, but spirit. Anytime you're ready.
Indeed, beloved gods and goddesses.
Oh, there's Zora. Hi, Zora. How are you
and
today?
How be you this wonderful, glorious, and loving day?
Well, within we are wonderful. Here in Nevada, it's a little difficult. And in many parts of the western states, it's difficult as far as the fires and the smoke. But
yes, we know.
Well. Yeah. Well, that's not my first question, Zora. So we just finished a beautiful meditation and intermission from Dr. Jerry. Hey, Zora, it sounds there's like a little bit of interference when you speak. Let's try that again.
Interference?
You don't hear it. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll be okay. I don't know what you're doing at your end.
Adjusting the headset.
All right. Once you have that set, then I think we'll be fine.
It is done.
So we have had Dr. Jerry, or Hari Das is his given name. And his meditation is quite powerful. And of course, it's all in Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tell us how you what you think about our meditations with Dr. Jerry.
Oh, very good.
And, of course, also the commands that we do with Q.
Very good also.
And, of course, with you. And that's very good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very good as well.
Yes. All very good. It's all about balance. It's all about centering and grounding and being in a higher space, you know, place.
Indeed.
Being connected to spirit, to our higher selves or our God, Goddess self. Right? Okay.
Indeed.
Before we go on with your questions.
Before
I open up, so my main question right now, Zora, has to do with all of the fires that is going on in so many different places, not just in the United States. So I see fires, you know, all over the place, especially in the western states. We have them in Colorado. We've got some even in Arizona. So tell us what's going on there, Canada, wherever else is going on. We know that a lot of, you know, many are arsons, but the other part also is that the evil is still present. That's making havoc, that's creating some of these fires. Please tell us.
Well, some of the fires originate from what is called summer lightning.
Summer lightning.
Yes, the summer lightning. Sometimes the lightning strikes and there's no clouds in the sky. So it doesn't all come from thunderstorms and lightning. Lightning can occur at any time.
So, well, how?
Especially in dry conditions.
So it seems like it's so much more than it was last year. It doesn't seem like it's, you know, disappearing or diminishing at all. It seems worse than it was last year. We're not even in fire season. We're just starting now.
Do not use the term fire season. Because when you do that, you manifest fire season.
Well, I was just seeing that on the map, Zora. I'm just bringing what the fact is in terms of what is there.
Indeed.
You say it's summer lightning. What about the cabals and yes, creating some of the fires too?
Oh, that is happening as well. But that is being done by means of a laser beam in the nose of aircraft. And they do this for what is called to eliminate what they term as undesirables, according to their standard. But all of that is about to come to a screeching halt.
As each day draws nearer
to the, what you call the galactic disclosure, they are what you call the cabal is doing what is termed as trying their last ditch effort in order to regain control, which they have lost. So that is one of their ploys to use. Take the concentration of the peoples away from their goals and to center them on fires. So fires are a distraction from what your goals are that you have set. Well, so that is what the fires are doing. They are drawing the attention of the goal setters away from their goals and causing them to think about the fires. Just as you have just said or just asked about the fires, your focus has been taken from what is called the call, this call, and centered it on the fires. So they are in some way they have accomplished their plan. But understand, it's very hard not to think about the fires because you have the smoke out here. But that is exactly what you must do. Take your focus away from the fires, and the fires will be managed by looking on them and observing them and talking about them. You are creating more fire.
So what is the Galactics doing presently regarding what they're seeing, what you are seeing?
Well, they are still preparing for their, what you call their disclosure, and that is ongoing. They want to bring up first.
Remember,
you are. They are observing what your focus is.
I understand.
You understand. They are observing what the focus is, and the focus is on the fires.
Right, but it's also the focuses in terms of not being able to breathe if I go outdoors. And then we know also of towns that have already burnt down. How can we undo not focusing on that, except besides sending it love? I mean, and closing all of the blinds.
Precisely. All of you do what is done. Let's take your minds off of the fires and put your focus back where it belongs in the ascension process. And then the fires will be dealt with. But as long as you are feeding energy into observing them and things of this nature, you are feeding the fire. So
we're perpetuating them. Okay.
Indeed.
Okay.
So take your focus off of the fires, and then it will clear up. But as long as everyone's focus is on the fires, you will continue to have smoke.
Yeah, so we just have to know that it is eliminated completely. And the only thing we see is beautiful blue sky.
Indeed. That's what you focus on. And that's what you need to focus on. Do not put your focus on fires or devastation. You look at what is called the rebirthing in those areas that have suffered the flames. Understand, there was not a loss of life in those towns because everyone was evacuated before the fire arrived.
Well, there were actually a small number.
Well,
assumptions.
The ones that chose to stay, it was their time to ascend. The ones that were refused to move out, to leave their homes, ascended. So it was all, it was still in their contract. They were deemed and ready to go. And they did. So, but there was no death at all. There was ascension, but no death.
Of course not.
You need to get that in your minds. There is no death.
Yes,
there is only ascension. There is only ascension.
Absolutely.
So
if it isn't,
I want everyone to rub their hands together and point their hands out toward the smoke area, to the areas that have, who have fires, and send your love to the fire, and your love will dissipate the fires.
Let's do that now.
Let's do it now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, receive. A great influx of love to all of the fires out in the West, out in Canada, out in the Midwest, all areas of the of all the forests. Send your love out to them, and you will see a change.
And we know it's it is done.
Indeed. So now, your other questions, not pertaining to fires.
Well, of course not. I'm not even thinking about that now. So, it's been, and I know this is a thought, which is not what I should be doing, but it's really difficult sometimes not to be in thought when you're caught up in whatever else is happening in the world, even outside the window. It's still, a lot of it is still what's within that is still really difficult to let go of. You know, the feelings of frustration, the feelings of not being able to help, feeling like we're not getting what we want to get done, accomplished. It's like all these obstacles that Dr. Hari Das was talking about, letting go of all of that, all of the obstructions that are in the past. So a few words of upliftment, I think, from you, Zora, would be very helpful for all of us.
Well, what everyone needs to do right now is to stand up, walk to your window, your doors, if you're outside, then you are good to go. And you simply shout, what a wondrous, glorious, and loving day it is. I cannot emphasize that more. Walk to your doors, walk to your windows, and shout, what a wondrous, glorious, and loving day it is. Not it will be, but it is.
What a wondrous, glorious, and loving day it is.
And you know it.
And we know it.
Doesn't that bring a smile to your face when you say it?
It brings it back to center, Zora. Thank you.
Indeed. It brings
All
you
right.
back to center.
So you say that the galactic Zora are, they're coming closer, just like the RV is coming closer. So did you want to say anything more in regards to that or no?
I do not want to say anything more about the RV. You already know that it is in the process of happening. Let's leave it at that.
Because
the more you doubt
closer.
It, the more you doubt it,
we're not doubting.
The more you prevent
Zora,
it. I'm not speaking of you. I'm speaking of in general. Many peoples are frustrated. We understand this. But also understand, by you being frustrated and putting your focus on your frustration, it is not helping it at all.
You say that the disclosure is happening. Well, it's not happening. They're still waiting for something, Zora.
They're waiting for your blessing to be bestowed. All of you.
Okay.
That's what they're waiting for. Yes.
Okay.
For you to have your, what you call, your humanitarian projects come to fruition, to begin. Not to finish, but just begin. And for them to begin, you must have your blessing.
I see. All right. Okay. Well, why don't we do
that? Is that not so?
That is so. That was the plan.
It is so. Indeed.
It's still the plan. Okay. All right. So come on, Larvi. All right. Maybe a big push also for that. That it would, that G4B gets it in their hands now, Zora, would be really helpful.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, receive.
4, 3, 2, 1, we receive. The blessings.
You
now.
You only have 15 minutes for questions. You have already
all right.
Gone. You have already taken up 15 minutes.
All right. Okay, everybody. I know that. Thank you for your patience. We'll go ahead and get started with 845, ending in 4478. 4478, you're on. You're on with
me. Wow. Hi, Zora and Jane. Hello, Jane. This is Bob in Newburgh, New York.
Okay.
Indeed.
Questions. I have a question in Zora, for Zora, and possibly Jane can answer also. How relevant is the Lord's Prayer and should it be followed and continuously said, Zora?
To say the Lord's Prayer is fine, but you want to say it very, very slowly. As you do, it will give you more focus. It will bring you more to a balance, to a center. By saying it in a normal way, it's simply a prayer. But by when you say it very slowly, it you will feel it in a much more intimate way.
Well,
more
thank
powerful.
You. Thank.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was very
thank
good,
you for
Bob.
That.
Thank you for bringing.
More.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you
more
power.
More powerful and more powerful prayer.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Very good. Thank you, Bob. There's a powerful meaning to every word, especially when it's translated. In Arabic, actually, but the tone also of those words are very powerful. So thank you for bringing that up. Lots of people have been brought up, you know, saying that prayer, but it's only been done just repetitiously without really going, feeling it in terms of the meaning and the power it has. So, okay, very nice. Thank you for that to begin our show. Thank you, Bob. Next caller is 503 ending in 3323. 3323?
Hi, Jane, Zora. This is Gary from Springfield, Oregon. And
Hello, Gary.
Has to do with – hi, nice to hear from you guys today. My question has to do with something that I think might assist me in my ascension process. And that is, about 6 months ago, I ran across something called an Andara crystal. And I'm wondering if that might be something that would be a good match for my particular spiritual being and assist in my process.
If you think it is, then it is.
Is there a particular one that would be better for me that would be a vibrational match to me?
All crystals are a match.
Okay. So anything that I'm attracted to would be good?
Indeed.
Okay.
Any crystal that calls to you is a match.
Okay.
There you go. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
That's what I wanted.
Very good.
Thank you. Uh-huh. You're welcome.
All right. Bye. All right. 909 ending in 7336.
Hello, Jen. This is Gina Ken.
Yeah, well, hello there, Gina.
Yes, hi. Beloved Zora, I want to express, first of all, I thank you for all your inspiring us and comforting us all this time. I have been listening to you since 2012. And to me, that's how it has been, inspiring and comforting. Now, we are very close to the galactic disclosure you're talking about. And then we are heading for the gathering. All these things are coming imminent, galactic disclosure. Now, at this time, I don't know if this is a good idea to establish a galactic center where our galactic brothers and sisters can come down landing on their ship. What do you say about that?
Well, when it's time for the galactic vessels to land, they have already appointed areas to do so. If you wish to set up one area for them, by all means, do so. But I'm just saying that whatever you do is fine. And
If I do establish a collective center where they can land, will they land there?
Yes, of course.
Okay, this has been my long-time dream about galactic disclosure and establishing galactic centers. So, okay, please continue what you wanted to say.
Well, that is fine. Just go ahead and do what you feel that you need to do. And I'm quite assured that a vessel will land at your center.
Oh, that's... sounds wonderful. Okay, I'm thinking about one in Korea and one in here, USA.
That is fine.
Okay.
Very
thank
good, Gina.
You build it, they will come.
Okay.
You build it, they will come.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you. I'm glad I asked you this question. Thank you.
Very good, Gina. Thank you. All right. Next one is 928 ending in 2865.
Hi, yes. This is Helen calling from Sedona. How are you all this morning?
We are wonderful. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for wishing me a wondrous, glorious, and loving day. I call it wiggle. And anyway, my question was about Q. And I looked up, he mentioned a person that helped him, and it was Ron Amatron. And I guess there was a book or some teachings. That person, I believe, is from the Creation Lightship. What can you tell us, Zora, about the Creation Lightship?
And what do you wish to know about it?
Is that basically a lightship from Source? And are we, you know, with the choices of ascension, are we, the three choices I'm told from some are, you can ascend and be with Creator, you can ascend and be in service to others, or you can ascend and be in service to forgiveness. So I'm not really sure what are our choices, but I hear that the choices will be given during the 8 through the 12 extra, I guess, energies that are coming in during August. But I just wondered if you had any comments on how that's related with the ascension process and what we would be going and doing. So I'm basically, any of those choices seem to me like they're all closer to Source, but I mean, are we basically supposed to choose ourselves from our heart center, or is it
whatever,
on our frequency?
Whatever you choose will be the right choice.
That sounds right to me. But I mean, I guess one of my questions is then, are we basically boarding the light ship to ascend to the earth, or are we basically just going to make a portal that from our frequency that allows us to be on the fifth dimensional or fourth density earth?
No, that's right here.
Right here. Okay.
I'm sorry. Absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead, Zara.
You are correct. It's right here.
Oh, that's
yep.
just too wonderful. I'm so happy. Thank you so much. And I appreciate all that. I've never felt so much joy in my life. And so everything that everybody's doing to align with that, I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you.
Indeed.
All right. Okay.
God bless
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
Okay.
You bet. Bye-bye. Okay. We have like, we have, all right, let's go with 208 ending in 8394.
Okay. Hi. Love to,
hi,
be Pawnee. Talking to you, Jane, and hi. Yeah, this is Pawnee from Idaho. Almost forgot to identify mm-hmm. myself. Okay, and love both you and so grateful for what all you're doing. And so, Zora, the lady was asking about tomorrow. Well, anyway, you know, August 8th is the Lion's Gate. And I was just wondering what helpful information you could give us for all of us who are should really focus on, well, service to others or service to source or not service to self, of course. So maybe you could give us some advice on what we should do tomorrow. Of course, be with nature, but maybe you might have some other extra information that might help us. Thank you.
As I said with the other beloved entity, the choice you make will be the right one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. I just thought you might have some other advice, but yeah.
No, that is yeah. all the advice I need to give.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that is true. Thank you very much. Love you both.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. Okay. Very good, Zara.
Indeed.
Let's see. Let me go ahead now to put her there. And we'll bring in 732 ending 3147. 3147.
Yes, it's JJ from the East Coast. I have a few quick things, please. When the suppressed technologies come out in this era, will anything be able to help stop the people from the damage from the poisonous vaccine?
The only ones that will be able to do that are the galactic disclosure from Ashtar Command, and so that is your answer.
Yes, sir, it's a good answer. Also, you mentioned before that the Earth's surface population is 8 billion. What is the hollow Earth population?
Several billion.
One last thing. What happened to all the people in the history that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle?
They are alive and well.
Great. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Zora.
Sometimes you need to get away from the kids. Hold on. Okay, very good. And then I think that we're good now, Zora. We have only a minute or two. So
indeed.
We are complete on the board. Which is amazing.
Well, why don't
which
you
brilliant.
Why don't you bring why don't you bring my beloved Drew? You knew I was going to say that, didn't you?
I knew that.
Yes. Allow her to come forth
that.
And speak.
Indeed, beloved gods and goddesses, children, we love you. We know the struggles that you are going through. We observe it all. We also see that the struggles that you are having, whatever those are, you are also becoming much more stronger and more resilient in spite of them. Say that the light has won, you actually have also won. From within, you are growing in much more higher vibrational frequencies or frequencies. So keep up this wonderful work that you, where you are and what you are doing. You are in transition. Just know that you are transitioning back and forth all of the time right now. But know, in essence, you are beautiful love spirit, helping the world to raise its consciousness, raising its frequency. So thank you, beloved children, beloved ones, beloved gods and goddesses. We are totally one with all of you. And so be it. Have yourselves a wondrous, glorious, and loving moment. Thank you, Collective One.